the Apostle Paul was a planner. He was a planner. If he lived today with us in his daily journal, right inside the cover, he would have written the words, "Fail to plan is a plan to fail." And he would have read those words every day and be inspired to make plans. Some of you here today are planners. I know Brother Richard's a planner. He's already planning December. It's on the calendar. Some of you make to-do lists. You make your plans. What to do today, what to do tomorrow, next month, even next year, what your plans are. Making plans is a good thing. But like many things in life, plans change. Plans get changed for us. Through no purposeful act of our own, we have to alter the plans that we make from time to time. Now, this certainly happened to the Apostle Paul. Throughout his ministry, his plans changed. Throughout his life, his plans changed. We see a major change in Paul's life as he is on that infamous road to Damascus with papers in hand to go and to arrest, to throw into prison any Christians that he might find. Anyone that followed this man named Jesus, he was to arrest and put into prison. God himself changed Saul's plans on that road to Damascus that day. Throughout Saul's ministry, throughout Paul's ministry, as he changes his name, his plans often got changed. This handpicked, this chosen apostle, handpicked by God to carry the word to the Gentile world, God would often change his plans. His daily, his weekly, his monthly, even his annual plans would often be changed. Paul's plans were oftentimes influenced by those people around him, those people who traveled with him. We have Barnabas, Silas, John Mark, and of course Timothy. Paul's plans often got changed by the places that he went, whether it was in Jerusalem that he would go, or whether it was in Antioch or Cyprus or Lystra or Derbe. Where he would go would oftentimes influence the plans that he had made. Whether he would be accepted, whether he would be welcomed and allowed to preach the gospel, or whether he would be rejected, arrested, and even thrown into jail. The places that he would go influenced his plans, whether he would be allowed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, or whether he would be dragged outside the city gates, stoned, and left for dead. Paul was accustomed to his plans changing. Throughout his life, he learned to accept those changes. Changes that would impact the work that he was doing for God. Changes to his plans that would influence the people that he would preach to. The changes that God made in the path that Paul walked, he accepted in order to fulfill the will of God. As a willing servant, you'll notice Paul never rejects God's changes. When he inserts changes to the plans that he had made, he accepts them willfully and follows God's lead. One such change that we see, a major change that we see in Paul's plans, occur in chapter 16 of the book of Acts. In your Bibles, if you will, this morning, turn to chapter 16 of Acts. We'll be there in just a few moments. Paul and Silas, they're preaching together. They have taken on a young man that they have met, a young man named Timothy. Timothy has joined them in the ministry. He comes highly favored among those other believers that were there in Lystra, those that were in Iconium. They spoke highly of young Timothy. So young Timothy joins Paul and Silas on their missions. And they are traveling throughout Phrygia and Galatia, preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, we see that the Holy Spirit intervenes once again. The Holy Spirit intervenes in Paul's life and prevents him from going further into the provinces of Asia. Oh, now, Paul wanted to go deeper into Asia. Paul wanted to teach the people in Asia, but the Holy Spirit prevented him. God had other plans, and Paul will follow what God wants. In chapter 16, looking at verses 6 through 8. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they have come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. When Paul and Silas and young Timothy, they've arrived and they pause briefly in Troas. They pause there, and it is there that Paul is given a very important vision. A vision that will change his life. That will change the life of the church. The Holy Spirit is intervening once again and making these unexpected changes to Paul's plans. God is temporarily closing one door, but he is opening wide another. As Paul has that vision, the changes that God is making in Paul's plans that night will have one of the greatest impacts on the church. Paul just doesn't realize what God has in store for him. Continuing in our reading, beginning at verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice, Paul does not hesitate one moment. He does not resist this call that God has made to change his plans. How easy it is for us to bow our back, to go kicking and screaming every time a plan that we've made gets changed. How upset we get when things aren't going the way we want them to go and the way we had planned them. Paul never does this. He never resists God. We may never know. Sometimes when our plans get changed, it may be God's hand changing them to fulfill his will and for us to accomplish his purpose. The next thing we see Paul and his associates, Silas and Timothy. And at this point, it appears by the way that the scripture is written that Luke has joined them. Luke, the writer of Acts, now uses the pronouns we and us, including himself. So very likely Luke has joined Paul and Silas and Timothy. They are now on their mission trip. They don't hesitate. They don't wait. These men are on the move. They are ready to go where God is sending them. Then we read the word therefore. Therefore, because of this vision that Paul has had, because of that vision he's received, he and his associates depart, and they head immediately to Macedonia. Continuing with verses 11 and 12. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. We see that after making the necessary travel arrangements, having arranged a boat that he could travel on, they sailed immediately to the small mountainous island of Samothrace. They apparently spend one night there because it says immediately the next day, the very next day, is when they sailed on to Neapolis. Neapolis simply means new city or new town. It's apparently small because they reached Neapolis. It's a coastal town. It's about 10 miles east of the city of Philippi. And Paul wastes no time staying there in Neapolis. He wastes no time getting to Philippi. Philippi was prosperous. It was a Roman colony. It was a colony that Rome had established. It was a very important city in that region of Macedonia. It's about the same distance you see from Chattanooga and Knoxville, from a very important city that you know of called Thessalonica. It's about the same distance, about the same direction as you would see Chattanooga and Knoxville. Philippi and Thessalonica, which will play a very important role in the church. Philippi is located on a roadway, a roadway that the merchants used that was very important. It led from the eastern provinces of Asia all the way to Rome. It ran on the northern side of Philippi, and because of this merchant's trade route, Philippi became very prosperous. They became wealthy. They became influential politically in that world. This roadway joined Asia and Europe. It joined Asia to Rome. And this important roadway brought prosperity to the Philippians, to those who lived there, the citizens of Philippi. In verse 12 mentions Philippi was the foremost city. What that means is it was the leading city. It was a major city. It was the highest ranking city in that part of Macedonia. And that may be the reason that Paul had decided to stay there for a number of days. Now, being a Roman colony, Philippi had a large number of men, military men, that had moved from Italy and had resided there in Philippi. They had settled there because they were given land by the Roman government to move to Philippi to settle. And as military men, they would have a military presence, a Roman presence there in Philippi, ensuring the control and power and influence that Rome would have over that city. Philippi had grown from being a modest town into now a city of dignity, a city of prosperity, a city of wealth and privilege. Among its highest honors, the citizens there in the first century that lived in Philippi, they enjoyed all the legal rights and recognition of the other cities in Italy. They were considered the same and equal to any other Italian city. The residents of Philippi that lived there, they were very proud of this fact. They were considered to be Roman citizens with all the rights and privileges that a Roman citizen had in that day. And being a Roman colony, having such a Roman influence in that city, having such an overwhelming Gentile population may explain that there were not enough Jewish men that lived there to even have a synagogue. To have a synagogue required a minimum of 10 married Jewish men, known as a minyan or a quorum. They did not have enough Jewish men living there in Philippi to have a synagogue, a Hebrew house of worship, a place that they could come for the purpose of worshiping God. Continuing on with verse 13 in our scripture, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." Paul was accustomed to going to the synagogue anytime he went into a city, anytime he went into a town. He would find the synagogue because that's where people gathered. That's where the people were, and he would preach to them there. The synagogue was where people came to worship God And Paul would bring the gospel message to them. Well, since Philippi did not have a synagogue, Paul searched. He sought out and he found where those who wanted to worship God, who wanted to pray in a public gathering, in a group setting, he found that there was a group that met outside the city who were there on the riverbanks praying to God. Possibly there were some Jews among them. They were all women. They may have lived there in Philippi, but they had gone outside the city gates, and there on the riverbanks, they gathered to worship God. They met for prayer. These may have been religious people in their minds, but Paul knows there is no other name but Jesus by which we must be saved. And he is taking that message to them at this time. He is carrying the gospel to those who had assembled to worship God on that Sabbath day. Paul does what Paul does. He preaches. He begins to talk to these women. Now, this is not a casual conversation that he's having. He is bringing the gospel message to these women who had gathered on the side of that river to pray. He is sharing the gospel with these women. Verse 14. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. It was here along the riverbanks of the Ganges River that Paul meets this interesting, this successful businesswoman named Lydia. It's very interesting. The Holy Spirit, through inspiration writing these words, includes the minute detail that Lydia was from a town called Thyatira. Why in the world would the Bible tell us that? She's living there in Philippi, obviously. She's a successful businesswoman there in Philippi, but she is from Thyatira. You see, Thyatira was a Roman province located in Asia, exactly where Paul wanted to go and preach the gospel in the first place. God is allowing Paul now to still teach the gospel to people from Asia, even though he has obeyed God and has gone to Macedonia. Talk about having your cake and eating it too. God makes it possible. All things are possible with God. So what do we know about this woman? What do we know about this woman named Lydia? Well, she's a businesswoman. She is a seller of purple. Well, that's kind of a strange phrase. What does it mean? She sold. She was a trader. She was a merchant of purple cloth. She was a seller of this purple cloth that was an item of luxury. A luxury and an item that was so luxurious it was a status symbol reserved only for the royal or the very wealthy. Lydia was a seller of purple. She sold purple cloth that made purple dresses and purple robes and purple cloaks, exuding the very power of purple. This cloth would impress those who were powerful. It would impress those who were influential, those that were in positions of power. Purple cloth was very hard to produce. It was very difficult to make. The natural dye that was used to make this purple cloth came from the very tiny fluid that would be found in shellfish. It would take thousands of shellfish to obtain this fluid enough to make one single yard of purple cloth, thus making it very expensive. The cloth was literally worth its weight in silver. This very specialized business that Lydia had carved out for herself, the type of clientele that Lydia would have had to buy that purple cloth, the things that she sold to the rich, to the wealthy, and to the powerful, made Lydia a successful businesswoman. The circumstances set around Lydia's life set her apart from the other women in her culture. Having her own business, being successful, having her own house, having a household, which most likely included servants that worked for her. This made her different. Lydia was not your typical first century woman living there in Philippi. We've already discovered that Lydia is not a local girl from Philippi. She is from Asia. She is from Thyatira. But she has a home that is located there in Philippi. She has a home that is there in that important city, in that city. Lydia lives in Philippi. The town that she's from, Thyatira, it was known for purple cloth. It was known for where it was produced. Thyatira is about 300 miles from Philippi. It was not just a little town next door or right down the road. Given Lydia's business, given that she was a trader, a seller of this purple cloth, she would have to travel back and forth between Thyatira and Philippi. There's even the possibility that she may have still had family located back there in Thyatira. She may still own a home, a second home, even there. But this is pure speculation, not scriptural evidence. Nevertheless, it appears that Lydia was the head of her household. She was the head because no husband is ever mentioned, no man is ever mentioned in her life. She was well traveled. She had to travel back and forth given the nature of her business. It required it. Being a businesswoman selling purple cloth, she could not have been poor. Because if she was poor, she would not even have been able to afford her own inventory. So she was wealthy and successful. A woman living in the first century, Lydia was doing quite well for herself. What else do we know about her? She was not Jewish, but she believes in God. She is what the Jews would have called one who feared God, one who feared Jehovah, a Gentile that worshiped in synagogues when a synagogue was available. They were allowed to go and worship in the synagogues as Gentiles. They were restricted as to where they could go within the synagogue, but they feared God. Lydia was a successful businesswoman. But she knew there was something so much greater and more important than money. She knew there was something so much more important than even purple cloth. She worshiped God. Now, not having a synagogue there in Philippi, we find her on that Sabbath day, gathered there on the riverbanks with the other women to pray. To pray to God, to worship God. And we see Paul arriving. Paul arrives where the people have gathered to worship, and he begins to tell these women the news of Jesus. He begins to share with them the gospel message. And he shares with them the message of Jesus, and God opens Lydia's heart. He opens her ears and her heart that she listens eagerly. She listens carefully to the words that Paul is now sharing with them. And it brings a major change to her life. Verse 15, if you would. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Lydia hears the gospel message. She hears the message because faith comes by hearing the word of God. She believes. She believes the wonderful news that Paul has shared with her and those other women there on the banks of that river. Lydia's faith leads her to obedience, to obey the word of God that has been taught to her. She heeded the things that were spoken by Paul. Moved by this obedient faith, Lydia and her household are immediately baptized. Paul has taught them the gospel. This fulfilled that mountainside prophecy, the mountainside word spoken by Jesus when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." In this culture, in the world that Lydia lived in, a household included not just relatives, not just family that might live there in that same home, but it included the servants that worked for that home. And we're told here that Lydia and her household were baptized. They must have been present there on the banks of that river as Paul shared the gospel, because they also obeyed it. They heard it. They believed it. The gospel is indeed God's power to save all of mankind that obeys him. God leads us to repentance. God leads us to follow him in our obedience to him and doing the things that he has told us to do. Lydia, now baptized, is a new sister in Christ. She is a sister to Paul, who is there with him, and she hits the ground running. She doesn't wait to say, "What do I need to do? What do I do next?" Hospitality is her virtue. She begins to invite Paul, Silas, Timothy, invites them to come and stay in her home. She doesn't just extend a pleasant and polite invitation. "Come by and see me sometime. Come by and we'll have a glass of tea on the front porch." She invites them to stay in her home. Verse 15 tells us Lydia's a pretty good saleswoman, because she persuaded us. Persuaded means you had to have your mind changed. They probably were not going to go and stay at her house to begin with. She begged them. She pleaded with them. And she persuaded them to come and stay. This conversion of Lydia, the conversion of her and her household, is so important to most of us here today. Most of us here today, this is very important because of this simple fact. Lydia and her household were the very first people on the continent of Europe to obey the gospel. Many of us today, you may have responded to that advertisement on TV, Ancestry.com. "I want to know where my roots are. I want to know where my ancestors came from." Many of us may have come from Germany, may have come from Britain, United Kingdom. We may have come from the Eastern Slavic countries. But many of us came from Europe. And these were the first European Christians to obey and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news, as we call it, the good news of Jesus was first shared with this woman named Lydia, an unlikely person to hear the gospel, a Gentile, a woman, a successful businesswoman at that. And she responded and accepted. The gospel of Jesus Christ reached this land because God changed Paul's plans. He changed Paul's plans, and he and Silas and Timothy go to Macedonia. God sent them to this land of the Gentiles to share the gospel, to share the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And it required changing Paul's plans where he had wanted to go. We oftentimes refer to this as the Macedonian call. We sang it a few moments ago. We've heard the Macedonian call. Come, help us. Do you hear that call today? Do we hear people calling us today? Come, help us. People that are begging to know about this Jesus that we proclaim as our Savior. Jesus, the Son of God. People that do not know Him, wanting to know, tell us about Him. People are begging to know about Jesus. Is God changing plans in your life? Plans that you have made for today, tomorrow, next month? Is God changing plans so that He can use you for the purpose of fulfilling His will? Answer that call. Answer the call that He has sent out to you. As we sing the word, send the light, I challenge you to be the light. Jesus has told us we are the light of the world. We don't hide our light under a bushel basket. Outside of these doors, we could walk up and down Highway 58 and find people needing to hear the gospel today. We can go across the river to the community of Hickson, and people are needing to know the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your own neighborhoods, the house to your right and the house to your left, people needing to know the truth of Jesus Christ. The people we work with, the people we rub elbows with every day, even our own families, needing to know the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We don't have to fly over or sail across some huge body of water to be a missionary. We are commanded to share the gospel. America is no longer the God-fearing Christian nation that we once were. There are millions upon millions of people that need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. They're all around us, people that need to hear and respond to the gospel. Paul went to this city of Philippi in this region of Macedonia, where the only God-fearing people that he could find was a group of women sitting on the banks of the river to pray to God and to worship Him. Nevertheless, Paul told them the story of Jesus. Lydia listened. God opened her heart. She heard the gospel, and she responded to it. She acted upon what she heard and believed in her heart. And she obeyed gospel. She obeyed and was baptized. Not just was Lydia baptized, but her household as well. God changed Paul's plans when he was there, wanting to go to Asia. God had different plans for him and sent him to Macedonia. It is there that Paul preached the gospel, and the very first people in Europe hears it and obeys it and becomes our brothers and sisters there in Philippi. In verse 15 that we read a moment ago, Lydia opened her home to these missionaries. If you go down 25 verses to verse 40, it appears that Lydia's home has now become a very familiar meeting place, that other believers go to her home and meet there. This group of believers is the very beginning of the Church of Christ in Philippi. They met in Lydia's home. About 12 to 14 years later, Paul would write a letter back to this congregation, a love-filled letter telling them that he prays for them often. He is sitting in a Roman prison under house arrest, shackled to a Roman soldier, and he writes that letter back to these Christians in Philippi. It all started with a request. Come over here and help us. Paul heard that call. He heard the call and he answered it. He responded to that vision. Souls were saved as the gospel was preached to them. A single convert can have a huge impact on the kingdom of God. Will you hear this morning? Will you hear that call? Those that are begging, come, help us, tell us about Jesus. Will you respond to that call? Where? In your world that you live in, where is your Macedonia? Send the light. I challenge you to take the light, to be the light, and to share the gospel as we've been commanded to do. You may be here this morning needing to acknowledge the Lord's call, the Lord's invitation that he extends to you that is always open. If you've never obeyed the gospel, today would be the very best day to do that. In the same way that Lydia listened and her heart was opened and she heard that gospel message, you too have heard the news of Jesus Christ. You have heard how he has suffered, how he died, and how he was raised again on the third day, conquering death for eternity, all to wash away our sins. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is who he said he is, that he now sits at the right hand of God. You must confess that belief before others. Change the direction that you are now walking. Repent of the sins that you have been following in your life. The path that you have been going down, you change that direction. You are commanded to be baptized. Baptized where we come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, the only element that can cleanse us of our sins, the blood of Jesus. And by the power of God, coming out of that grave of water, being baptized, God adds you immediately to the church, to the church of his Son, to the church, the body that Jesus gave his life for. Oh, you said, I did that years ago. I've done all that, but this morning you may know in your heart that your relationship with God is not what it should be, that you have not been doing the things that God has asked you to do. You know in your heart that things need to be changed. You too can make that change. You can change the path that you're walking and begin walking the path with God. You can do that. As obedient Christians, we're told in 1 John that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us of our sins, washes us clean. You too can be cleansed again. To make the changes in your life that you know that need to be changed, you can do that today. If we can help you in any way, if we can pray for you and with you, we would be more than happy to do that.